Dan Celia.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
But I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Welcome back, 844-707-5533, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It is great to be here. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do that. We do have our Ag Report coming up as well, and we have a special guest, Pastor Musgrove from New Beginnings, Musgrave. I keep saying Grove because I know a Musgrove that has since passed but was a good friend of mine. Anyway, and I don't know why I keep going there. But Musgrave, Pastor Musgrave, New Beginnings Assembly of God Church in Fairfield, Illinois, speaking his prayer to the Illinois house. Oh, my gosh. It's unbelievable and really rebuking. And it was an amazing prayer. He's going to be on with us. So we're excited to have him on and talk to him a little bit. So good stuff. 844-707-5533. By the way, as we look at the indices, if I can get that here, I'm struggling, but we look at the indices, it looks like the Dow is up right now about 146 points. So we're up about a half of 1%. That is good news. The S&P up about a quarter. The NASDAQ's up barely. It looks like the NASDAQ could potentially turn negative based on what it's doing right now. Small cap stocks taking a little bit of a hit. Small cap stocks are down. Job growth you should see the headlines. I mean, I didn't talk about it first hour because the headlines are job growth halts in America. Private payrolls, no more. I mean, some of the headlines are unbelievable. First of all, let me tell you that the ISM non-manufacturing hits 56.9 for the month of May from 55.5 was a great, great number. 56.9, even better. So this is an ADP number, probably indicating that the number that comes out Friday, the government number, probably will be a lot lower. But let's just keep things in perspective that we are coming off an ADP number last month of 275,000. I don't remember seeing an ADP number ever of 275,000. So we had an enormous, now where we would maybe start to get a little worried if they looked at dramatically lowering the number from last month through a revision, which they didn't do. This is a big miss because they were expecting on average 173,000 by those analytical firms that were polled. We got 27. So that is a huge miss. Now, here's the thing that we want to point out. Hamilton Strategies reposted yesterday on Twitter, and we retweeted an article. If you haven't seen it, you can find it on our website too, Financial Issues, an article that I wrote about a year and a half ago, and it was published in Town Hall. So before I talk about the article, it says here that key shortages of labor is affecting growth, particularly at small companies. So the other thing is that there have been layoffs by brick and mortar retailers that are hurting. We haven't even seen the beginning of that yet. That's going to get worse throughout the rest of the year at the rate retailers are going. So I think that we've we've got to understand, and I said this a year and a half ago, that if I said it was kind of an article, and I was talking to kind of an article talking to President Trump, and I said, Mr. President, or I said to the administration, there's no way that the administrative pro-growth policies, which I was very glad to have, are going to be sustainable if we don't fix legal immigration. We've got to fix our legal immigration system. We cannot have a sustainable growth in the economy if we don't have a workforce. So I said that this, I think the term I use, I don't remember, you can find it on the article, but I think the term I used, we're missing this freight train of the economy is going to be derailed by not having enough workers. And I'm not saying this is the beginning of that. I'm saying, though, that it could be. We would need to see 3 to 4 months of this to really see it as a trend that we've got to be very, very concerned about. And I'll tell you something. It is going to be very difficult to slow this trend or to fix this trend on the downward side at this point, if in fact this is the beginning of that trend, because it's been a long time in the making. So it's going to be hard to just turn around on a dime, not to mention we have done nothing to fix the legal immigration problem. So anyway, it's we'll see what Friday's number has just gotten very, very important, a lot more important than it was. Okay, we've got our commodities report coming up, our ag report with Craig Haugert. We're going to go to that, and then we'll be right back after this, after Craig with our commodities report.
This is Craig Haugert with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Corn closed higher yesterday as it was propelled by the slow planting pace. Some of the bullish enthusiasm was tempered by the thoughts that farmers will continue to plant corn into next week if the weather allows them to. Also pressuring prices was the news that 1 million metric tons of corn has been purchased from South America for delivery to U.S. ports on the East Coast. As I record this, the overnight spot corn futures are trading 7 cents lower. Soybean prices traded higher on slow planting progress and talk about farmers looking to plant as many acres of corn as possible, leaving less of an acreage switch to soybeans. While prices closed higher, they retreated from the day's highs as uncertainty over trade negotiations between the U.S. and Mexico put some negative pressure on the market. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading down a nickel as I record this. While corn and beans were posting higher closes, the wheat market was experiencing a good old-fashioned beating yesterday. Prices were down sharply as we saw a round of profit taken, driven in large part by the great crop conditions numbers that came out in Monday's report. Also adding pressure to the wheat market is the increasing world supply. World stocks for the 2019-20 crop year are estimated at 293 million metric tons. This compares to 275 million and 281 million the past 2 years. In the overnight trade, Chicago is down 12 cents, while Kansas City is 16 cents lower and Minneapolis is trading down 9. After closing higher on Monday, cotton reversed direction yesterday, with July futures closing down 45 points to settle at 68.97. In the overnight trade, they're bouncing back a bit as we have spot futures trading up 43 points. Livestock futures were stronger straight across the board yesterday. August live cattle were up a buck and a quarter for the session, while August feeder cattle were $3.95 higher for the day. August lean hogs turned in a stronger session as well, with August futures finishing 95 cents higher for the day. Class 3 milk futures had a tough session, with July futures 20 points lower as they settled at 16.31. In the overnight trade, spot futures are trading up a point. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were down 20 cents to settle at 2.23 even, while selects were 34 cents higher, settling at 207.71. In hogs, the pork carcass values were $1.26 lower as they closed out the session at $83.65 per hundredweight. This has been Craig Haugert with your Financial Issues Ag Update. We'll be right back with more financial issues after this.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It is great to be here. And let me just play you a little clip of our guest speaking at the State House in Illinois. Now, Illinois is wearing, politicians, I should say, are wearing as a badge of honor their new law. They now have the worst abortion law in the country, worse than New York State. Listen to Pastor Musgrave.
Lord, you have told us those things which you hate, and among them are hands that shed innocent blood. I stand here in this house, in this high place in Illinois, and ask you, O God, creator of heaven and earth, if there is any blood more innocent than a baby that is wonderfully being created in the womb. God, those unborn children are not hidden from you. The psalmist David exclaimed, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. So God, we have made our appeals to the leaders of Illinois this week on behalf of those innocent babies who do not yet have a voice. We have been a voice for those who cannot speak for themselves as you have commanded us. Those appeals were denied, but we have one final appeal left, and that is to the courts of heaven. God Almighty, I make an appeal to heaven today, to you, the perfect judge, the one who presides over heaven's court. I ask you to rise up, O God, and judge Illinois for the sanctioned destruction of the innocent unborn. For when your judgments are in this state, the inhabitants of Illinois learn righteousness. In this house, I pray for justice to roll down like water and righteousness like a mighty river. In your judgment, I pray that you would remember mercy, for we know that you, O God, do not want anyone to be destroyed. I ask this in the name of your Son, the one who died for a sinner like me, the one who is appointed to judge the living and the dead. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Pastor, what an incredible prayer. Folks, we're talking to Pastor Musgrave, New Beginnings Church, Fairfield, Illinois. And some turned their backs on you. Some walked out. I understand that there was a bit of a hissing noise as some of them were hissing. I'm sure they didn't like. I pray that some of them felt conviction in their heart as you prayed. But I suspect those that walked out, turned their back, and were hissing did not feel that conviction at that day, but they may be today, I hope and pray. When did you know you were going to be praying for that body of legislators?
Well, my state representative, Darren Bailey, had asked me to come to the Capitol and open it in prayer back in February, and the office of the clerk had called. And I felt God put on my heart to pray near the end of session. And so we set up a date of May 31st. So it was all the way back in February.
Wow.
That I knew I would be there.
Wow. I don't know how it works, but when you were asked to pray, is there a set of like do's and don'ts, rules and regulations that they would dare ask anybody to pray a certain way? Is there anything like that?
Well, yes and no. My state representative didn't tell me, there was no restrictions from him. About a few days before I went up there, I received a letter from the office of the clerk, and in the letter, they instructed you with some do's and don'ts. Do not pray in anyone's name. Do not proselytize, etc. So they did. They did tell me not to do that. But.
And you did pray firmly in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And
sure,
what a blessing that was. And I think the real blessing, I hope, that people that hear that prayer, and folks, you can go and hear the whole prayer on our website. We have it posted on all our social media accounts, and you can get a look at and listen to that entire prayer. That wasn't the entire prayer. It was beautifully formed, by the way, Pastor, and I'm sure God's hand had a good grip on you as you
do that. I believe he did. And, you know, I think from people that are unbelievers, I've seen a lot of misconceptions. People were saying that I was calling for God's wrath, or I read that I was calling for more flooding because I said, let justice flow like water and righteousness like a mighty flood. I wasn't calling for any of those things. I was praying for God to make a decision in this case, as one would plead before a judge and plead their case before a judge. And whatever God decided, I prayed that he would be merciful. And that is my prayer of this state. Like I said in the prayer before, I'm an eighth generation son of Illinois, and it breaks my heart to see the direction we're going and the path that we're going down. And I believe God gave me the words to pray, and I hope I honored him in saying what he wanted me to say.
Yeah, I think you certainly did honor God, no doubt about it. And more importantly, I think maybe in this day and age, not more importantly than honoring God, but so important that you were an example of what we need desperately in the country. Prayer. We need pastors. We need pastors like we haven't needed since the Revolutionary War. You know,
we need
pastors to stand firmly on the Word of God and on the Bible, steadfast and movable on the Word. And you know, there is. I don't know if it's proper to say there is a good, strong remnant. Maybe there's more than a remnant, but we know what God can do with a remnant, so we shouldn't be discouraged. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it is a wonderful example of what we need today, not to be concerned with the favor of men and to be able to say what's necessary to be said.
Right. And you know, we talked just a little bit. I'm from a small place in southern Illinois. I've been here most of my life, and it kind of shocked me. I came into the office Tuesday, and our voicemail was full of just words of encouragement of people from across the country. I've gotten emails from across the world of people saying about bravery and courage. And Dan, I don't feel like, honestly, I don't feel like it was a brave or courageous thing. I feel like it was just me doing what God asked me to do, me standing up and being a voice for the unborn. But it opened my eyes, I guess, to how much that is lacking in our country.
Yes.
And most importantly, my prayer was to God to step in. But if somehow this can be encouragement for pastors who have led the way in the changes that have been very beneficial to our country throughout history. You mentioned the Revolutionary War. From Revolutionary War to the ending of slavery to civil rights to now abortion, pastors need to be out there speaking out, speaking the truth, and speaking God's word courageously and with love.
Yeah. You know, I had a wonderful pastor, a guy by the name of Dr. Michael Youssef. You might know the name.
Oh, yes, yes. I've listened, yes.
And he and I were talking one day. I interviewed him for a DVD that I was doing, but he blamed so much of what has happened in our society on, he said, us, pointing to himself.
Right.
He said, see, we're the problem. He
right.
said, 100 years ago, we started to question the inerrancy of God's word. We started 50 years ago to question the divinity of Christ. And he said something that's so important. He said, that has permeated the pews. And the pews have permeated society, and the world is coming into the church, you know, and all of that started from the pulpit. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was wonderful that he was willing to say that. And you are, God has used you. And you know, I know you don't feel courageous, but you were, if nothing else, in the greatest place you could be in the world, and that's in the obedience of God. So mm-hmm. you were firmly in God's obedience. And that ought to be standing in the obedience of God, the one who raised up that prayer to you. That should be the example to our pastors. And we need it so bad.
Yeah, and that's what I pray for. You know, the quote by Charles Finney, it said basically the same thing your pastor did, that if immorality floods our country, just to paraphrase, and if the halls of our legislature become corrupt, it is the fault of the pulpit. And I firmly believe that. I think if more pastors would stand up and speak the truth in love, we would not be in the situation we're in today. Yeah. But we've fallen into this idea of political correctness. Yes. I think some have fallen into worrying about their position, their power, their salary, whether or not people are going to leave because they stand up for what is right. And we need a resurgence of pastors again that are willing to boldly proclaim the truth and not worry about the consequences.
Man, you are singing my song, Pastor. I just want to say I've been talking about this for such a long time. I talk about it at every town hall meeting. I talk about it. Mm-hmm. I've been talking about it in a very passionate way over the last few days with so many things that have happened. And, you know, I was amazed, and I said this yesterday to a group. I sit on a board, and I said, you know, I was most amazed this weekend. I sent out a tweet. Franklin Graham was on the program talking about his special day of prayer for Sunday. And I sent the tweet out of Franklin Graham being on the program and all that. And then he retweeted it, and then President Trump retweeted it. And I got millions of such hate and vile mail mm-hmm. that I hate to sound this naive, but I had no idea that there was that much hate for God in our society. And, you know what, Pastor, I got to say a proper goodbye to you. Would you stay with us for this break? I didn't plan on going this long, but we'll go through a break and then I'll come right back to you and I'll let you go after that. All right.
Okay. So, all right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Folks, we'll be right back right after this. Stay with us. Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. We're wavering from our Financial Issues program, as I do all the time. But great time to be listening. And Pastor Musgrave is a pastor of New Beginnings Church in Fairfield, Illinois. And you heard his prayer. Hopefully you've seen it by now. Go to our website or go to social media, our Twitter or Facebook account, and you'll see it and listen to that prayer. It is amazing. And Pastor, at the break, we were just talking about, I mentioned something earlier from the Revolutionary War. You know, we haven't had pastors stand firm, it seems, for a long time. And I said last week, maybe it was this week, maybe it was Monday, I said, you know, pastors don't want to be leaders. They don't want to lead. Their flock is getting eaten alive by the wolves, and they don't want to lead. And it was interesting what you said. You were telling me about a friend.
Yeah, my mentor, Pastor Don, he told me the exact same words, Dan, last evening. He told me that most pastors don't want to stand up and lead. And I don't know the cause of this. I don't know the reason, but I know that has not been the case throughout history. And I know when our country was thriving is when pastors and churches were the influential voice in society. You mentioned the Revolutionary War. It was a pastor, Jonas Clark, who took his congregation and stood out on Lexington Green and stood against the onslaught that was coming against the people. And where are the pastors today that are taking their congregations in prayer and making public statements about the onslaught of abortion that's happening in our country? Or and abortion is one instance, but there's all sorts of evil that's going on. Where are the pastors at to take a stand? I don't know if they're worried what it's going to cost them, because it does cost something to lead, but we have to be willing to pay that price.
Well, you know what? People want to be led. People want to be led by their pastor, and the majority of them do. And, you know, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing. The church is built from the pulpit. It's not built from all those other things that we do. You know, I always use an analogy that our church is spending so much time salting salt. Mm. So we built these beautiful salt shakers, and there we salt it on all of society. We don't want to do that. We'll just salt each other, and we'll minister to each other. And look, we need to do that. We need to protect our flock. We need to minister to our flock, certainly. But we need to be salt and light to the rest of the world and the earth and the communities that we live in, that are permeate to the counties, that are permeate mm-hmm. to the states, that are permeate to the country. And we need that desperately. And maybe some of those great, great pastors that would do that were murdered since Roe versus Wade. And we won't know that till we get mm-hmm. to glory. But I am an advocate, a firm advocate for life. And we support a ministry called Preborn here that we encourage people to save babies through ultrasounds. And, you know, it is a horrifying thing that is going on, and to see how it's evolved in just a few years to infanticide, it is so sad. And I know that it grieves the heart of God. Mm-hmm. And we need men like you. I know you don't consider yourself a courageous man, but I want you to consider yourself as a man being used by God, and God has given you that courage and boldness, that ability to be immovable at a time that we desperately need immovable pastors as leaders. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I wish I don't really, but I wish I lived near your church.
Right.
But I'm in a quite the opposite. I live in Philadelphia area where we desperately wish we had a whole bunch of churches like yours and pastors like you. But I thank you for your boldness. Keep standing firm. We want to have you back and talk some more from time to time.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here, Dan.
You're welcome, and I appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much, Pastor. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you, too.
Pastor Musgrave from New Beginning Church, Fairfield, Illinois. If you're ever out that way, I hope you'll visit him, and I hope you'll shake his hand, thank him, pray for him, pray that he can continue to be bold and strong in what he is doing. God has given him a wonderful boldness that he has very willingly accepted. And man, folks, that's what we need. We just need men that want to be, will be, and continue to be in the obedience of God. That's what we need. So we sure appreciate it. We held him over a little bit longer than we intended to. Please go and listen to the prayer, because you will be encouraged by the prayer. You will be encouraged. You know, this morning, I listened to the whole prayer early this morning. And when my wife got up and about, I start about 2:30 in the morning. You all know that. And when she got about, I said, man, you got to listen to this. And she just said, wow, so encouraging. So good to hear. So do that. Please do it. It'll be encouraging to you. You will appreciate it a great deal. So I hope that you will listen to that prayer. And look, pass it along. Pass it along to your pastor. Pass it along to everybody you know that needs to be encouraged. Pass it along. I hope you'll do that. All right, folks, we're going to get about the business here of talking a little bit about the economy as we do every day from a biblical perspective. And, you know, I spend a lot of time after every program, and I seriously do it every program when I drive to my office from the studio. I repent of all the opportunities that I missed to say the words Jesus Christ. But, you know, one thing nice about my partners, I can't speak for all the listeners. We have a lot of listeners that are new, just hearing the program for the first time, that don't understand my heart. But so many of you know where my heart is. And I appreciate to speak to, and look, there are a lot of pastors like Pastor Musgrave that are strong and courageous and standing firmly on the word of God and willing to be that leader. So it is a blessing. So we'll get back to calls, 844-707-5533. Before I do that, let's recap a little bit, see what's happening, because it looked like things were beginning to turn down a bit as we were headed into that last break. Let's just see where we are. I don't know, because I have lost my feed. My word. Anyway, I'll see if I can round it up somewhere else. But we'll see. I don't even want to say, but it looked like they were going down. I would suspect they're holding in positive territory. There was some bad news with ADP numbers, so there may have been a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction to that in the sense that they may have turned down a little bit. People, the news lines, the headlines in the news about this is the end of all hiring that's ever going to happen again in America. That's what it sounds like. I'm sure MSNBC, CNN, and some of the liberal news media just having a field day with an ADP number of 27,000. So, but be that as it may, we know better. 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you are welcome to do that. And let me go to calls while I'm looking for those numbers and go to Connie. Connie's calling us from Kansas. Hey, Connie.
Hi, Dan. Hey, I really enjoyed listening to the pastor and the prayer and everything. And my husband and I met you down at the retreat in Texas, and he's a pastor and stands firm also. And so we're just so very grateful for others that are doing the same. So thank you for that. That was
awesome. You're welcome.
Awesome.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I have two very, I think, quick questions.
Okay.
One is trying to figure out the Timothy Fund. Let's see, TM22. It doesn't show up that way in Fidelity, the way it's supposed to. And then when I do find one that I think matches, there's a 1% sales charge. Did you know about that?
No, there shouldn't be any sales charges.
Now, so there is a sales charge, and then they require that you do $2,500 as your
base. Yeah, so that is not... What you're probably picking up is the Timothy Mutual Fund, the fixed income mutual fund. Now, I only say that because someone else wrote me and told me about that. So I went in. That's really interesting. I went into my own site on day one on my IRA, and I purchased both of these ETFs. And so I went back to my site to see how it was listed. And it was listed just as I said. So then I went to Fidelity and I put it in, and it came up as Timothy's fixed income fund. It's not Timothy's fixed income fund. Now, I don't know if that's what happened with you or not.
That's interesting. Can I give you the letters that Fidelity has given me that
yes.
Say it's fixed income? It's not the EFT that you're talking about. It's just a straight Timothy plan, fixed income plan, class C. It
yes.
Says. And I think I need, TFICX.
Yes. See, that's the mutual fund. That's not the ETF.
Okay.
So that's the problem. And
okay, hey, I hear the music. Can I put a question on Facebook and let you answer it?
Yes, you can do that. Sure thing. And I'll tell you some more when I get back about this.
Okay, wonderful.
All right.
Thank you,
Connie.
God bless you.
God bless you. Yeah. Tell your husband I said hello and thank you.
Yes, will do. Bye-bye.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
I was talking to Connie, and Connie asked me a question. So, Connie, on the break there, I don't know. So I didn't go to TD Ameritrade. I didn't have time. But I went to Fidelity. It didn't come up. I put the same symbol in at Schwab, which is, by the way, T as in Thomas, P as in Paul, H as in high, D as in definition. So Timothy Plan, high definition, or high dividend. That's what it stands for. So TPHD. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but I've heard from so many people that have bought it through Fidelity. Now, here's what I'm thinking. So when you go to your Fidelity site, are you in the mutual funds? So you can pick when you're buying from bonds, stocks, mutual funds. You don't want to be in mutual funds. You need to be in stocks. Now, unless they have a separate ETF trading area, but you want to go, if you go to trade, for instance, Schwab has stocks and ETFs. They use the same heading for both. So I'm thinking, I don't know this, but I would be, I think I'm reasonably sure that when you're going into your Fidelity brokerage account, you are going on to their trading mutual fund side and not their trading stock side. So to buy TPHD, you've got to be in the trading stocks, not trading mutual funds. So check that out. I suspect that's going to work. There is no minimum. You can put $50 in if you want, and there are no fees. So check that out and see what you can find out on that. In the meantime, on your Facebook question, I know it's here because I was told it was. There it is. Dan, wondering if you could please review how to move the lines in the tracker. Okay. To help industries together. So when you're looking at your tracker, and if you're still listening and you have that up, I'll stall, give you a chance to get it up on your computer. So when you see your tracker on the far right, right before the symbol, you see something that looks like a diamond. It really isn't a diamond. It's an up arrow right up against a down arrow, and it looks like a diamond, just to indicate. If you click on that diamond and hold it, you can drag it wherever you want to drag it. So you click on the diamond, and you can drag it up or down, up to, you know, if it's at the bottom and your energy sector is at the top, you want to drag it up to energy, you can do that. So you just click it with your mouse and you hold it. And as you hold it, you can move it up or down anywhere you want to go. So we need one of those little eyes. You know how we have on our portfolio tracker, we have this little circle with an eye. And if you hover over it, it tells you what it means, what that column means. We need that over there, that little thing. I'm going to have to work on that, get our IT guy to do that. But, yeah, anyway, so that's how it works. You just click and hold, and drag it wherever you want to put it. So that's going to help you a lot, and you'll see how that works. All right, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. 55-33. And let me go to Dakota in Texas. Hi, Dakota.
Good morning, Dan.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
First, I want to say thank you for your ministry and also your service to our country in the military.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
I've been listening to you for a couple of years. I just became a partner back in April.
Oh, thank you. That's great.
So I had a couple of questions.
Okay.
I have a Roth IRA, and it's with Security Benefit or Guggenheim Investments. I'm not.
Okay.
Are you familiar with
yes.
Are you familiar with this?
Yes.
Okay. And I think I've talked to you once before, and I believe you told me it's not biblically responsible. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So now that I'm a partner, I wanted to, I want to move that Roth. How would I go about moving that Roth?
So what you would do is before you don't really have to do anything to move it. All you've got to do is open up a new Roth account. And you want to open it at a discount brokerage, which where it is now is not. But you want to open it at a discount brokerage, which would be one of those ones I mean, you know, E-Trade or Fidelity or Schwab or, TD Ameritrade, one of those. And you're going to open a Roth account. Now, you don't need to put money into it to open the account. So you're going to open the account online, and there will be a transfer form. You're going to check transferring funds.
Right.
There will be a transfer form. It's just a small form that you fill out. Then they handle it. You give them the information they want, and their transfer agents handle it with your current transfer agents, and that money that is in your current Roth will just show up in your new account.
Right.
Now, it may take, it may take a week or two or three.
Yes.
Depends. There's no real timeline on it because they can kind of, it's always on the other end, them letting go of it. For instance, if they're close to closing out their quarter, they tend to hang on a little, stall a little bit.
Okay.
But so that's all you have to do. So the key is opening up the new account first, and then you can walk through that transfer real easy.
Okay. So you mentioned Schwab, TD Ameritrade.
E-Trade, TD Ameritrade. TD Ameritrade is probably, I don't know. People say no. Some people say no. I shouldn't even comment on it because I can't really, I have a hard time, when it's like me telling my wife if something's an easy read and she goes to read it and said, I don't even know what are you talking about, easy read?
Okay.
So, I can't look, but I think it's fairly user friendly to TD Ameritrade. And I do, okay. And I will say, I do like their research. And what they do, and they're pretty good. But some people have said Fidelity Brokerage and Vanguard Brokerage, Vanguard Broker side they think are very user friendly. So,
okay,
doesn't matter any one of those.
Okay, are there any costs with that?
No, there's no cost to that, but. There's the reason why I told you to transfer it over like it is, and I didn't mention anything about selling anything that you own,
right.
Is because I would rather you sell it when you move it, after you move it, because
okay.
When you sell it wherever you go, one of those, it's going to cost you about $4.95 to sell
right.
it.
Right.
If you sell it where you are, it's going to cost you a lot more than that.
Okay.
So...
All right.
So you're going to move it in kind unless they have
right.
some funds that are their own funds, and then you won't be able to move that. You'll have to sell it first and then move it.
Oh, okay. I see.
And then move the cash.
So I might, with the discount brokerage, then I might have to check with them.
No, well, they'll tell you.
They'll tell me.
So they're going to, you're going to fill out that form, and you know, they'll get in touch with you and say, you know, how do you want to treat this fund because it won't come over? And you'll say transfer it as cash. And then it'll get sold over there. Now, there might be a check. I know some of them have a check. Transfer in kind, which means as it is. Transfer in cash, which means sells everything. Or transfer in kind and cash, you know, proprietary funds or something. It gives you that option on the form.
Oh, okay.
All right. All right.
So try to do it as it is, but if I can't, then...
Then they'll sell. Just tell them to sell whatever won't come over.
Okay. And then could I...
Sure.
You have time for another question. This is about your website.
Yes.
I was looking at that in the partner section. Which asset allocation model would you recommend for me? I'm 31.
So I would probably... And this is in a Roth IRA account?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I would recommend that you do the second, is it the second or the first? The second
percentages and weightings is the very first one.
Yes, that's the one I would do, ages 20 to 35.
Right.
So that's the one you would do.
Yes, sir. Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you, Dan. I'll probably be calling you with more questions later.
No problem. I sure appreciate your partnership. Thank you so much. And
yes,
appreciate your support. And you've been listening all this time. Thank you. God bless.
God bless you.
All right.
Goodbye, sir.
Folks, we got another hour left. If you want to queue your call up, now's a good time to do it. Facebook, our website. If you're watching on our website, financialissues.org. Maybe you're watching on the phone, listening on the phone app. You can do that as well. Financial Issues phone app. But we're going to get back to your questions after this. Remember, all that you have is his. Let's be a good, faithful steward. God bless. We'll be back.
If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.
Thank you for joining us. This has been an FISM production.